All right, so today we're diving into the world of Qigong.
Okay.
It's a practice that claims to harness this mysterious energy. It's called Qi.
Right. Yeah.
And people say it can do some pretty amazing things like healing, even some things that seem almost paranormal.
Okay.
So our main source for this deep dive is a letter that was published in the Journal of the American Society for Psychical Research.
Interesting.
It was written by Dr. Arthur Hastings, who actually went to one of these Qigong lectures and saw a demonstration firsthand.
Wow.
So the question is, did this renowned Qigong master, Dr. Yan Jin, really have these extraordinary abilities?
Well, it's interesting because Hastings went into this experience trying to balance being open-minded but also skeptical. You know, he's intrigued by what he's hearing about Qigong.
Right.
But also wants to look at it from a scientific viewpoint.
So he's trying to find that sweet spot between belief and evidence.
Exactly.
So Dr. Hastings attended Dr. Yan's lecture at the Institute of Transpersonal Psychology.
Interesting.
Pretty good sized crowd, about 140 people.
Wow.
And Dr. Yan starts by explaining the basics of Qigong.
Okay.
This idea that there's this healing energy that we can tap into.
Right. And then he tells the audience he's already started working on them.
Oh, wow.
He's already opened their Qio.
Okay.
And that's where things get interesting.
Okay.
You see, Qi is also sometimes called Qi or Qi, depending on who you're talking to.
Right.
But the idea is that it's this vital energy that flows through everything.
So everyone's just sitting there with their key open.
Right.
What's that supposed to feel like?
Well,
and more importantly, is it safe to just walk around with your key open like that?
Well, according to Dr. Yan,
staying
for the entire session was crucial because leaving with your key open could actually be harmful.
Seriously.
And he also gave everyone some very specific instructions. They had to sit on the edge of their chairs, keep their spine straight, hands out in front, and eyes closed.
Eyes closed the whole time.
And they had to keep them closed throughout the entire demonstration.
No peeking allowed.
Right.
I can only imagine that added to the whole atmosphere, right?
Nothing.
This sense of anticipation.
Yeah.
And maybe even a little bit of vulnerability. And then things start to get a little strange, according to Hastings.
People began reacting almost immediately.
Oh, really?
Some people were shaking.
Okay.
Others were swaying or rocking back and forth.
Rocking back and forth.
Some were moaning, sighing.
Wow.
And even crying.
That sounds intense.
Yeah.
I've been to some pretty lively concerts, but I've never seen a crowd react like that to a lecture. Was Dr. Yan like waving his hands over the crowd or something? How was he supposedly directing this cullent?
Hastings describes Dr. Yan mostly staying at the front of the room.
Okay.
Talking every so often.
Huh.
Encouraging everyone to stay in position.
Okay.
And telling them that whatever they were feeling was good for them.
Interesting.
He did have a few assistants.
Okay.
Who were moving through the crowd.
Uh-huh.
Massaging people's shoulders and backs.
So is this proof that Dr. Yan was manipulating some sort of energy? Or could there be another explanation for what Hastings and the other people in the audience experienced?
Let's consider Hastings himself.
Okay.
He was a scientist, remember?
Yeah.
And even he was skeptical.
Uh-huh.
He only felt one quick tingle.
Just one tingle.
During the entire demonstration.
Wow.
And he even wondered if it was just him imagining things.
Really?
He mentioned that with a little bit of effort.
Yeah.
He could even make his own hands move involuntarily. Kind of like when you're really relaxed and your mind starts to wander.
So maybe some people were unconsciously influencing their own experiences.
It's possible.
It does make you think about the power of suggestion.
Yeah.
Especially when you're in a group.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we see these kinds of reactions in religious settings sometimes and even in certain types of therapy.
Right.
People are pretty susceptible to influence when they're feeling heightened emotions.
You've hit on a really important point.
Okay.
The atmosphere.
Yeah.
The expectations.
Uh-huh.
The group dynamics.
Right.
All of these things can play a role in how we experience something.
It's like when you go to see a magician.
Yeah.
You know they're going to try to trick you.
Right.
But you still get caught up in the illusion.
Exactly.
Right. Your mind is primed to see something amazing.
Uh-huh.
So you're more likely to interpret things in a way that supports that belief.
That's true.
But what about that elderly man Hastings mentioned?
Oh, yeah.
The one who was in a wheelchair
mm-hmm.
and then stood up and walked with Dr. Yan's encouragement.
That's the one.
Surely that can't be explained away by just suggestion, can it?
That's the story that really captures your attention, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's certainly the kind of thing
Yeah.
that makes you wonder if there's something more going on
Uh-huh.
than just psychology.
Right.
But even Hastings acknowledges
Mm-hmm.
that there's no way to know for sure if this was a genuine healing or something else.
Right.
Maybe the man was capable of walking all along.
Yeah.
But needed a boost of confidence mm-hmm. or encouragement.
So even the most seemingly unbelievable event
right.
could have a perfectly ordinary explanation.
It's possible.
You know, it's interesting that Dr. Yan's assistants were touching people, massaging them.
Mm-hmm.
Could that have had something to do with the reactions people were having?
Touch is definitely powerful.
Yeah.
It can have both physical and emotional effects.
Right.
It can create a sense of connection, yeah. release endorphins.
Okay.
And even reduce stress.
Yeah.
It's possible that those who were touched
okay.
experienced more intense reactions than those who weren't.
It's too bad. Hastings doesn't give us more details about that.
Yeah.
I'm also curious about Dr. Yan's insistence that everyone stay for the entire session
mm-hmm.
because leaving with one's qi open could be harmful.
Right.
Why all the secrecy and warnings?
Right.
It almost sounds like he was trying to create a sense of danger or exclusivity.
It's difficult to say for sure what Dr. Yan's intentions were.
Right.
Maybe he was just trying to control the environment and keep everyone focused.
Okay.
Or maybe, as you said, yeah. it was a way of adding to the mystique.
Mm-hmm.
It's also possible he was genuinely concerned about people's well-being.
Right.
Although that's hard to reconcile.
Yeah.
Without a clearer understanding of what open qi actually means.
Right. We're still missing a lot of information. And yeah. I think that's one of the challenges with exploring these kinds of phenomena. We don't always have the language or the scientific framework to make sense of them.
It's true.
So where does all of this leave us?
Why?
Did Dr. Yan really demonstrate these extraordinary abilities of Qigong?
I think it's fair to say
yeah.
that based on Hastings' account,
mm-hmm.
the jury's still out.
Okay.
We have some intriguing events.
Yeah.
But we don't have any concrete evidence
right.
to support the more extraordinary claims about Qigong.
Okay.
And as Hastings himself points out,
mm-hmm.
we really need more rigorous research
yeah.
and scientific validation
wow.
before we can draw any definitive conclusions.
I agree. It's easy to get swept up in the mystery.
Right.
And the possibility of something extraordinary.
Uh-huh.
But it's important to remember that just because something seems inexplicable,
yeah.
it doesn't necessarily mean it's supernatural.
Exactly.
Right.
There might be a perfectly natural explanation that we just don't understand yet.
Okay.
And that's what makes this whole topic so fascinating.
It forces us to question our assumptions. Uh-huh.
Be open to new possibilities.
Yeah.
And also stay grounded in critical thinking.
Right.
Okay. So we have this intriguing demonstration,
mm-hmm.
a healthy dose of skepticism,
yeah,
and a call for more research.
Okay.
What else did Hastings tell us about Dr. Yan and his work?
One thing that really stood out was that Dr. Yan had conducted similar demonstrations in China.
Okay.
Sometimes with audiences as large as 100,000 people.
100,000 people?
Yeah.
Wow.
A lot of people.
It makes you wonder how group dynamics might amplify these experiences.
Right.
Could the energy of that many people somehow create a feedback loop?
Yeah.
Making the effects stronger?
It's definitely something to consider.
Yeah.
There's a lot of research about how groups can influence individual behavior and perception.
Right.
It's fascinating to think about.
Yeah.
How those principles might apply in a setting like this.
So it's not just about what Dr. Yan might be doing.
Right.
It's also about how the group itself contributes to the overall experience.
It's exactly
as getting income tax.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
But that's what makes it so worthwhile to explore.
Okay.
We're at the intersection of psychology,
mm-hmm.
sociology,
well,
spirituality,
mm-hmm.
and maybe even physics.
All right. I'm definitely hooked.
Right.
What's next on our deep dive agenda?
Well, Hastings mentioned an article about research on Qigong masters.
Okay.
Including Dr. Yan.
Mm-hmm.
And some pretty bold claims about paranormal effects.
Like what?
Things like emitting radiation.
Okay.
Psychokinesis.
Interesting.
Even remote healing.
Wow. Okay. Those claims definitely take things to a whole new level of controversial.
They do.
But, you know, Hastings also compared
yeah.
the reactions he saw at Dr. Yan's lecture.
Mm-hmm.
to those in body-oriented therapies like Reikian therapy
right.
or bioenergetics. Mm-hmm. Is there a connection there?
That's a great observation.
Okay.
And it's definitely worth exploring.
Yeah.
There do seem to be some similarities in terms of the intense
physical and emotional releases people experience. Mm. But are they driven by the same underlying mechanisms?
Right.
Let's see what we can uncover.
Lead the way. I'm ready to keep unraveling this Qigong mystery.
Let's do it. So this article Hastings mentioned, it's called Parapsychology in the People's Republic of China, 1979-1989.
Okay.
And it talks about research being done in China on Qigong masters.
Right.
And it mentions Dr. Yan Jin specifically.
Mm-hmm.
They were looking into these claims that some of these masters could do things like emit radiation, move objects with their minds, what's called psychokinesis, and even heal people remotely.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Shooting energy beams from their hands.
I know.
That sounds like a superhero movie.
Right.
Not a scientific journal.
It's definitely pushing the boundaries of what we typically consider science.
Okay.
Their article even claims that some researchers saw Qigong masters moving objects.
Really?
Without touching them.
Okay, so we're talking about some pretty wild stuff here.
Yeah.
But I'm curious.
Yeah.
What was Hastings' reaction to all of this?
You're right.
He seemed pretty grounded in his letter. He was a show me the evidence kind of guy.
You're right. He was definitely skeptical.
Okay.
He points out that he didn't personally witness any of these paranormal phenomena at Dr. Yan's demonstration.
Right.
And he also notes that the article itself doesn't give any details about how these studies were conducted.
Oh, really?
There's no information about the methods, the controls, or anything that would allow you to evaluate how reliable the findings might be.
So basically, it's like someone saying, trust me, I saw it.
Right.
But without providing any proof.
Exactly.
But Hastings did raise an interesting point.
Yeah.
He mentioned that Western science might not have the tools to understand something like Quest.
Okay.
What do you think he meant by that?
I think what Hastings is getting at is that there might be aspects of reality, ways of interacting with the world, that our current scientific methods just aren't equipped to measure or explain.
So they just don't have the ability yet.
Right.
Okay.
He's not necessarily endorsing these extraordinary claims.
Right.
But he's also not completely shutting down the possibility that there's more to the universe than we currently understand.
It's like trying to measure the ocean with a teaspoon.
Exactly.
You might be able to get a sense of its vastness.
Right.
But you're missing a lot of the depth.
That's a great analogy.
And I think that's the key here.
Yeah.
Keeping an open mind while also demanding evidence.
Right.
We need to find ways to bridge the gap between what we can observe and measure scientifically and what might be happening at a more subtle level.
That's the challenge.
So how do we reconcile these seemingly far-fetched claims of paranormal activity with the more down-to-earth experiences that Hastings described at the lecture?
Whoa.
Are we supposed to believe that some Qigong masters can shoot energy beams
while
others are just helping people relax and release tension?
I think it's important to remember that even if some of these more extreme claims turn out to be exaggerated or unfounded, it doesn't automatically invalidate the entire practice of Qigong.
You're saying we shouldn't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Right.
Just because there might be some sensationalized stories
yeah.
doesn't mean there's no value in Qigong at all.
Exactly. And there's a growing body of research suggesting that Qigong can have real benefits for physical and mental health.
Like what kinds of benefits are we talking about?
Studies have shown that it can help reduce stress.
Okay.
Improve sleep. Boost the immune system, and even alleviate chronic pain.
Okay, so maybe the focus should be on those tangible benefits.
Yeah.
Rather than getting sidetracked by claims that are harder to prove.
I think that's a more grounded approach.
Okay.
And remember, even Hastings, as skeptical as he was, didn't completely dismiss the possibility of recruitment.
Right.
He simply emphasized the need for more rigorous scientific investigation.
So let's shift gears for a moment and talk about that comparison Hastings made between the reactions he observed at Dr. Yan's lecture and those you might see in certain types of therapy.
Right.
He mentioned Reikian therapy, bioenergetics, and breath work. Right. What's the connection there?
Well, those therapies focus on the connection between the mind, body, and emotions.
Okay.
They often use techniques that encourage physical and emotional release, sometimes through things like deep breathing exercises or body movements.
And Hastings is suggesting that the shaking, crying, and other reactions he witnessed could be similar to what people experience in these therapies.
Yes.
Is he saying that maybe Dr. Yan wasn't doing anything special and people were just having a kind of cathartic release triggered by the group setting?
It's certainly possible.
Okay.
Remember, he even mentioned that he could make his own hands move involuntarily with some effort.
Right.
So he's acknowledging that at least some of these reactions could originate in the mind rather than being caused by an external force.
Right.
It's like when you yawn.
Yeah.
And then everyone around you starts yawning.
Right.
Even though there's no yawn energy floating around.
Interesting. It's like those therapies provide a framework, a safe space for people to access and release those pent-up emotions.
Exactly.
And in the case of Dr. Yan's lecture, maybe the combination of the group setting, the expectations, and even the fear of leaving with one's K open created a similar kind of environment.
It could.
One that primed people for these intense emotional and physical releases.
It's possible.
So it could be a combination of factors, both internal and external, working together.
Uh-huh.
But how do we disentangle all of these threads?
That's quite.
And figure out what's really going on.
Yeah.
What kind of research would we need to do to get some clearer answers?
Ideally, we'd want to conduct controlled studies.
Okay.
Where we can isolate specific variables and measure their effects.
Okay.
For example, we could compare a group of people receiving Qigong treatment from a master to a group who are just relaxing or meditating.
And we'd want to make sure those groups are as similar as possible in terms of their age,
health,
and other factors. Right.
Actually.
We don't want to accidentally attribute any changes to Qigong when they might just be due to something else entirely. And we'd need to use objective measures to assess any changes, things like heart rate, brainwave activity, or even blood chemistry.
Right.
And of course, these studies would need to be replicated by independent researchers to ensure the results are reliable.
It's really important.
This is starting to sound like a pretty complex research agenda.
It is.
But I think it's necessary.
I agree.
If we want to move beyond speculation and anecdotal evidence and really understand what's going on with Qigong.
That's the goal.
Well, I'm convinced that this is a topic worth exploring further.
Me too.
What else should we consider in our deep dive?
Well, we've talked a lot about the potential benefits of Qigong.
Right.
But it's important to acknowledge that there are also potential risks.
Okay.
Especially when we're dealing with these more esoteric concepts like open Qigong.
That's right.
Mm.
Dr. Yan warned everyone to stay for the entire session because leaving with one's Qi open could be harmful.
Right.
What's the story there?
It's hard to say for sure.
Yeah.
Especially since the meaning of open Qi isn't entirely clear in this context.
Okay.
It could refer to a heightened state of sensitivity.
Okay.
An increased flow of energy through specific pathways.
Right.
Or something else altogether.
Okay.
But some practitioners believe that certain practices can make you more sensitive to energetic influences.
So it's like opening a door that you don't know how to close.
Yeah, kind
of. That does sound a bit risky. And there have been reports of people experiencing negative side effects from certain types of energy work, Qigong, things like anxiety, insomnia, and in some cases, even more serious psychological issues.
It can happen.
Wow. Okay, so it sounds like this is something to approach with caution.
I think so.
It seems like it would be crucial to find a qualified and experienced teacher.
Absolutely. If you're thinking about exploring Qigong, someone who can guide you through the process safely.
Someone you trust.
Right.
It's really important.
So we've covered a lot of ground here.
We have.
We've explored the claims, the skepticism, the potential benefits and risks.
Yeah.
But there's one big question that's still lingering in my mind. That elderly man in the wheelchair who was able to walk.
Right.
Was it a genuine healing or was it something else entirely?
It's the question that sticks with you, isn't it?
It really is.
And it highlights what makes this whole topic so fascinating, but also so difficult to pin down.
Right.
We have this compelling story, but without more information,
without
knowing what happened to that man afterward.
Right.
It's impossible to say for sure what caused him to stand up and walk.
It could have been a real physical change.
Right.
A burst of adrenaline. Or maybe he could always walk.
But hadn't tried because of fear or lack of belief.
It's possible.
It really makes you think about the power of the mind.
It does.
And how it can influence our physical experiences.
Absolutely.
And this is where the limitations of anecdotal evidence become apparent.
Yeah.
Personal stories can be powerful.
Right.
But they don't always give us the full picture.
They don't.
So how do we move beyond individual stories and get a clearer understanding of what might be happening with Qigong? Mm. Is there a way to bridge the gap between personal experience and scientific inquiry?
I think the answer lies in a multifaceted approach.
Okay.
We need more rigorous scientific research, as we've discussed.
Right.
But we also need to be open to exploring different ways of knowing and understanding the world.
What do you mean by different ways of knowing? Are you suggesting we go beyond the traditional scientific method?
Western science tends to emphasize objective measurement and empirical data, and that's incredibly valuable.
Right.
But it's not the only way to approach knowledge.
Okay.
Many cultures have long traditions of exploring consciousness, energy, and healing through practices that don't necessarily fit neatly into our current scientific models.
So we need to expand our perspective and consider alternative viewpoints and methodologies.
Exactly. It's about bridging the gap between science and spirituality, between ancient wisdom and modern inquiry.
That sounds like a pretty ambitious undertaking.
It is.
Where do we even begin?
I think it starts with curiosity and open-mindedness.
Okay.
We need researchers who are willing to step outside their comfort zones, collaborate with practitioners from various traditions, and explore new ways of measuring and understanding subtle energies and their effects on the human body and mind.
It's about building bridges between disciplines and approaches.
Right.
A true deep dive, as we like to say.
Precisely. And who knows what we might discover along the way?
Maybe we'll unlock the secrets of fit
and
finally understand the mechanisms behind those seemingly miraculous healings.
It's possible. Or maybe we'll uncover something even more profound.
Okay.
Something that completely changes our understanding of consciousness.
Wow.
And the nature of reality.
Now you're really getting me thinking.
Good.
But before we get too carried away, let's bring it back to our listener.
Okay.
What's the one thing you want them to take away from this deep dive?
I think the most important takeaway is that the exploration of human potential is an ongoing journey.
That's a good one.
There's still so much we don't know.
Right.
So much to discover. And that's what makes it so exciting.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
So to our listener, keep exploring.
Yes.
Keep questioning.
Uh-huh.
And keep an open mind. And if you've had any experiences with Qigong or other energy healing practices, we'd love to hear about them.
We would.
Share your stories, your insights, your questions.
Right.
Let's keep this conversation going.
Until next time.
Keep diving deep.